We'll read from verse 6. Joshua 14 and 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and faint. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. May the Lord bless this short portion of his precious word. We had a good finish up to our conference, in Glenewen. Our brother, Mr. McLeod, he was the first to open the afternoon session, the last session, and he set the good example. He said that he would be short so that there would be room for plenty of others to take part. And I hope this afternoon the Lord will help me to be an example so that there will be plenty of room for our exercise brethren to follow on. Now, when our brother Mr. McLeod was speaking about the good leader, Joshua, on yesterday afternoon, this is the portion that came before me, the good follower. Now, we can't all be leaders, but we can all be followers. But the Lord needs leaders in the assemblies. And that's one of the things we lack in many parts. Right men to be the leaders of the flock. The true shepherd is one that goes before the flock and has the confidence of the flock, and the flock are willing to follow the steps of the shepherd. So there's always a great need for good leaders. But also, if there were no followers, what good would be the leaders? There has to be the followers, and we can all be good followers. Now, I think that Caleb is an outstanding example in the Word of God of a good follower. Now, Peter, he would have been a leader, a good leader, but unfortunately, Peter had certain defects in his life, and you know, instead of being a good leader, we find him in the end of John's Gospel, leading the others astray. He said, I go fishing. And there he was. The leader led them up to the boats and the nets when they should have been active in seeking souls for Christ. Then Peter, too, he shows us that he was a poor follower too. We read of Peter when the acid test came, Peter followed afar off. It was very sad, wasn't it? But Peter learned his lesson. He got a perfect restoration, I believe, got back to the Lord. And when we come to his epistle, the first epistle, chapter 2, and he has the Lord Jesus Christ before him, he says, he has set us an example that we should follow his steps. He got his eye on the Lord again, and this time he was a follower, following the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we'd like to encourage the Lord's people this afternoon, about the great importance of following our Lord Jesus Christ, he who is bringing many sons unto glory. God has made the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now we read here of Caleb, the name means a dog, and probably it has the idea of how a dog is so devoted to its master, even though it might be a boy, a young person, anybody at all. The dog likes to go wherever their master leads him. And someone has said many years ago, I heard this in a conference, that Christians can be divided in two classes, the dog Christians and the cat Christians. Now the cat is an animal that when it gets a nice cozy place, an armchair, a near a fire, on a cold winter blasting night, the cat curls itself up, nothing can move it. Stays right there. Nice to stay in your place. But the dog, why, when his master gets his coat and hat and his stick, it doesn't matter what kind of a blizzard's outside, the dog wants to follow his master. And so there's the two classes in the present day. Some of them are very, very content with the flesh. You've got a nice assembly, and everything is going nicely, but we don't like to bother ourselves much. We just like the place. Oh, that we might be satisfied, not merely with the place, but whatever the Lord requires of us, wherever he wants us to go, and whatever he wants us to do, may we be able to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Now, speaking about the activist Caleb, we find it no less than, I think it's 3 or 4 times he says, but I followed the Lord my God. When it came to the testing time of the border of the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the two men that had faith in God that they could go in and conquer the country. And those two men, they tried to encourage the people to step out on the promise of God and go into the land. They were the minority. The 10 other spies carried the day, and the people who fear and unbelief didn't go in. But God saw the hearts of his two servants, and he said, these are two men of all the people of Israel that are going to get into the land. And it's very strange, the others came talking about the sons of Anak, that they were like giants, and that the Israelites were like grasshoppers in their sight. But when Caleb and Joshua get into the land, the both of them chose for their inheritance the place where the giants were, the Anakites, the sons of Anak. Nothing daunted them. Give me this mountain. It was a tremendous thing to us, but Caleb's faith in God and in his promise, in his word, had never diminished from the time that they were on the border of Canaan. A very nice thing I see about Caleb is that he belonged to the tribe of Judah. The tribe of the Lion of Judah. And that was the leading tribe. Who shall go up for us? Judah. They were the chosen ones to go forth first into the battle. They were the leaders. And so, but when it came to choosing a leader, Joshua was chosen. But Caleb didn't get upset about it. He said, I should be the leader because I belong to the tribe of Judah. No, he didn't say that. Caleb was quite content to play the second fiddle. And he followed all that time as a follower and not a leader. That's our wonderful virtue to have. There's a lot of God's people want to be leaders, but they don't like to play second fiddle. They don't like to be a follower. It's nice when one sees the mind of the Lord and says, Lord, whatever place you want me to occupy, I'll occupy that place. And the Lord will give you credit for it, and you'll get a full reward in a coming day. In some of our assemblies, there are too many egos. There, in 40s La Prairie years ago, a brother told me that two men were taking a flock of goats along the road through the city. They had a horse and cart, and there were two he-goats in front. And each one of those he-goats wanted to be the leader and wouldn't tolerate the other. Every little while they came together, trying to do the other one out. And they were holding up the whole operation. So then one of the men got hold of one of the goats and lifted him up and put him into the cart so that there wouldn't be any more of that rivalry on the road, and they were able to go forward. Shouldn't be anything of that in the center. There should be each one in their respective place, seeking to fill a little place if God be glorified. Now, we have here Caleb claiming the promise God had given to him 45 years ago. He says, wonderful. A man 40 years old, and now he's 85 years old, and he's in his great objective to give an inheritance in Canaan. It's not diminished any in the top. God's promises never fail. God's promises never diminish. And I believe that God sustained the strength of Caleb all those 45 years because God wanted to carry out his promise and give Caleb the inheritance that he was looking for. And so it is that our lives, our strength, our all is entirely in the Lord's hand. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Whatever work that God has for us to do, dear brothers and sisters, he'll always be good for the strength that is needed for the carrying out of that work. First of all, there was the promise, and he says here, verse 10, I think it is, back a little further. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And then verse is further down what I want. Verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And so he had his confidence in the promise of the Lord that God had given him. And then we see his reward for faithfulness. Four times over, I wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord had his eye on Caleb, and the Lord gave him a full reward when the time arrived. The third thing we have is undiminished strength, ready to go and fight the foe, ready to take that mountain and claim the inheritance that God had reserved for him. Dear children of God, what is our ambition? Do we want to be well-pleasing to God? Do we want to finish our course with joy? Do we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we content just to be nominal Christians, just being carried along, as it were, and not exercise about being able to apprehend that which God has apprehended us for? Then we have here the faith that conquers. He had the faith that God was going to give him the inheritance that was before him. For us, each one of us, if we really want to lay hold of the purpose of God in our lives, it's not going to be an easy course. Not going to be a pathway strewn with rust. There'll have to be the conquest. There'll have to be the fighting for the possession that we want, that the Lord wants us to have. Then we have another thing, is the promise was claimed and the promise was fulfilled. God saw to it that his servant got that inheritance in the land of Canaan. Now, another thing connected with Caleb, it reminds us of the need of continuance. We were thinking about this today and thinking of how the different things that are involved when one wants to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Following fully the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, there has to be the submission to the word of the Lord. That's the course that we have to follow. And the Lord doesn't want us to deviate, either to the left or the right, from the course that he has put down for us. Another thing about our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here upon earth, he walked in complete separation from the world. He was a pilgrim, a stranger and a pilgrim in this desert sea. And if we want to follow him, we'll have to know what it is to be strangers and pilgrims here upon earth. Our course will have to be a course of entire separation from the world in all its ways, in all its aspects. Then another thing is continuing. He says, continue in my word. There's a lot of God's dear children, and they go on nicely for a time, and then they lose heart, and they slow down, and they come to a standstill. We wonder what's wrong with them, that they've not got the holy fervor and love for the Lord and the meetings and everything else that they had at the beginning. Something has come into their lives that has slowed them down. Another thing we were thinking of is continuing my love, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And I wonder if we are still continuing in our love or whether we have left our first love. We read in the word that the love of many shall wax cold. And I'm afraid in many quarters there's a Laodicean spirit amongst us, the love and devotion that we should have for our Lord Jesus Christ. Then I was thinking too of they continued in the grace of God. How much we need the grace of God if we're going to finish our course with joy. But we thank the Lord that the grace of God is like a river that never runs dry. And the child of God, doesn't matter whatever crisis or whatever condition he might find himself in, he can always claim that grace of God which is sufficient for him. It was sufficient for the Apostle Paul, and it is sufficient for each one of us in the present day. And then we have the continuing in prayer. How essential it is, if we're going to follow close to our Lord Jesus Christ, to follow his example. He is the outstanding example in the Word of God of fellowship and prayer. We see him, how that he was prepared. When other people went to their homes, he went to the mountainside, and there he passed the night alone. He, as it were, wrestled in prayer, so that when he came back to the city or the town in the morning, he was filled with the power of the Spirit, and he had a word for every occasion that was before him. The comforting word to the widow, the word of encouragement, and the word of assurance. Every case that met him, he had the right word at the right time. Another thing about the Lord Jesus Christ as our example, we read in the chapter 50 of Isaiah how that he could say, morning by morning, he opened my ear as the taught one, that I might know how to speak the word in season to him that is weary. The Lord Jesus Christ daily waited at wisdom's gate to receive from above the word that was to be given out to others. And so with us, dear children of God, how sad it is that in the present day there are those who are neglecting the reading of God's precious word. They have all kinds of pretexts and excuses why they don't read the word of God daily. Is there anyone here this morning that begins their daily task before, without having taken time to read a portion of the Word of God? Some might excuse themselves and say, I haven't time. When I was a young Christian beginning in the things of the Lord, I got a great inspiration from one of our elder brethren in the assembly. And he had a large business. He had great responsibilities. In that day, the businesses, some of them were open for 12 hours a day. And that dear man, he could get up on a weeknight, he could minister the word in the power of the Spirit, that everybody felt that man has a message. And somebody asked him one day, Mr. So-and-so, how is it that with all your business responsibilities, you're able to come to the meeting, the weeknight meeting, and minister such food for our souls? He said, for some time ago, I put the matter before the Lord. Lord, if you want to use me for thy glory, if thou would use me for thy glory, I'm prepared to sacrifice something. And he said, if I were up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I could easily get to my work by 7 o'clock. He says, I get up at 5 o'clock. I have 1 hour that belongs to the Lord. From 5 to 6 every morning, I'm reading the word and in prayer. And he says, the little crumb that I get in the early morning, by night time, has turned into a big loaf. Ruminating, meditating over what you get out of the Word of God. And then when the opportunity arrives, able to do something that will be a blessing to God's dear people. But as some might say, well, I'm a sister, I don't need to, I can't preach and I don't, and this, that, and the other. But God will provide you with the opportunity to speak the word in season to him that is weary. There's many a Christian sister or a sister in the Lord who never occupies a public place, but in their own little corner, they can communicate something of the things of God to others. Even down in Venezuela, I've heard brethren testifying to a certain sister who, she went home some time ago, one brother especially, he said, at the funeral of that sister, he said, that was the sister that encouraged me when I was just starting in the things of God. Now he's a leading man in the assembly. She was strengthened his hand in God by the little word of encouragement and good counsel that she gave to him. So God would have our sisters as well as our brethren exercise in the word of God, exercise in prayer, exercise in being able to follow the pathway that our Lord Jesus Christ has left behind him. And then, when it comes to the end of life's middle journey, we'll enter the Lord's presence with a good conscience that we have been faithful unto the end. May the Lord speak to us through the example of Caleb, who put his faith and confidence in the promise and the word of God, and he finished his course. He went on faithfully year after year as a follower, and he's left on the page of